This morning, America's first news starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Irma smashes the Caribbean while eyeing Florida. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka, Thursday, September 7. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
With top sustained winds of 180 miles an hour, Hurricane Irma is on track to reach Florida this weekend. The massive storm demolished parts of the Caribbean yesterday.
In Washington, President Trump has struck a deal with Democrats on aid for Hurricane Harvey, government funding, and the debt ceiling.
At the U.S. Open, Federer is out on the men's side, and it's an all-American semifinal for the women. Plus, the changes you'll see as the NFL season opens tonight.
Americans are happier at work, but it's likely because we expect a lot less these days.
For the first time since 2005, a majority of Americans say that they're satisfied with their jobs. And, you know, we've been through a very difficult recession. We're coming out of it. The wages are finally picking up. Unemployment is very low.
Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber on our tempered expectations on the job these days. She's here in about 20 minutes. The National Hurricane Center says the threat of direct impacts by Irma in Florida over the weekend and early next week has increased. Hurricane watches will likely be issued for parts of the Florida Keys and Florida Peninsula today. Governor Rick Scott.
In the Keys, we're doing everything possible to get gas to you as quickly as possible. But we will get you out. We are looking at all possible avenues to ensure everyone gets out.
This is a life-threatening storm that the Hurricane Center warns is capable of catastrophic damage. Puerto Rico was hit hard yesterday with some 900,000 without power. TV footage of St. Martin showed a devastated marina with boats tossed into piles and submerged streets. This woman works at one of the resorts.
It is a disaster out there. Most homes have completely washed away. So we are in a serious state of emergency.
Hurricane warnings are in effect for other areas of the Caribbean. Irma is forecast to modestly weaken in the next 2 days, but remain on extremely dangerous Category 4 or 5 status. A hurricane, by the way, does not need to be rated Category 5 intensity to cause catastrophic damage. The rating only refers to the peak winds, not the size of the storm, the rainfall, and the storm surge. President Trump has sided with Democrats on a proposal to attach emergency aid for Hurricane Harvey victims to measures that keep the government funded and raise the borrowing limit for 3 months. The president's surprise stance upended sensitive negotiations over the debt ceiling and other crucial policy issues this fall.
We agreed to a 3-month extension on debt ceiling, which they consider to be sacred, very important. Always will agree on debt ceiling. Automatically because of the importance of it.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It's for the good of the nation that this happened. These are issues that have vexed the Congress, the House, and the Senate for the last decade.
If approved by Congress, the agreement would defer the threat of a partial government shutdown and a default on the country's debt until December 15th and send the first $8 billion installment of Harvey relief clearing items from a busy agenda this month. More than a dozen states are suing the Trump administration's plan to cancel a program that protects young adults brought to the U.S. illegally as children. The lawsuit came a day after Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the end of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA, created by former President Obama. The program allowed nearly 800,000 people to receive temporary work permits and protection from deportation. The lawsuit, filed yesterday by 15 states and the District of Columbia, says rescinding DACA violates the Constitution's equal protection rights. Jay Inslee is the governor in Washington state.
He's in trouble on multiple fronts, and he's trying to take it out on dreamers, and that is unacceptable in our state.
saying President Trump is playing politics. The administration said it would wind down the program over 6 months. Mr. Sessions, by the way, said DACA was implemented even though Congress had declined to pass the same policy into law. President Trump wants Congress to figure out a solution in 6 months. How would you like the convenience of joining a group cycling class whenever you want, right in your own home? Skip the commute to the gym, join live rides on the Peloton indoor cycling bike, or choose a ride on demand based on your favorite music. You can even choose your favorite world-class instructor. There are also dozens of on-demand scenic rides and additional off-bike workouts. The Peloton bike includes a 22-inch high-def touchscreen, performance tracking metrics, and a real-time leaderboard. In fact, see if you're working harder than me. My screen name is Radio Guy Gordon. Discover this cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings the studio experience to your home. Peloton is offering listeners a limited-time offer. Go to PelotonCycle.com, enter the code GORDONDEAL at checkout, and get 20% off accessories with your Peloton bike purchase. Get a great workout at home anytime you want. Go to PelotonCycle.com, use the code GORDONDEAL, and get started. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. Questions abound as lawmakers return to Washington from their August recess with a full plate of must-pass bills. But James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner, says the most pressing may be, can the marriage between President Trump and congressional Republicans be saved? It certainly took a hit yesterday. Jim, what are you hearing?
Well, Congress has come back from its recess, and there are a lot of unfulfilled campaign promises and a lot of parts of the Republican legislative agenda that are stalled. And before recess, Republican leaders in Congress and the president were kind of pointing fingers at each other as to who is really to blame for this. But now we're coming to a point where there's some real hard deadlines. I mean, the debt ceiling has to be raised by September 29th. The budget, the fiscal year, is coming to a close at the end of September. Hurricane relief with Hurricane Harvey. Obviously there's not a strict deadline, but that is something that needs to happen fairly quickly with only 12 legislative days in the September calendar for Congress. That's something they got to get done sooner rather than later. And then obviously the president added DACA, the immigration program for younger unauthorized illegal immigrants, to the list of things Congress is now going to have to get done, although that technically is not something that has to be done this fall. But, they've got a six-month window for that, and so they're really going to have to start debate and discussion now.
What does Harvey aid talk do to the other items they already had on their list?
Well, obviously to some extent it complicates things because it's a big must-pass agenda item, and it's an addition to an already intimidating list of things. But the positive, I think, for those who'd like to see some things get done is that it really, number one, is something that it is likely to pass because you have, Ted Cruz, who's the sort of lawmaker who might hold something like that up, is a senator from Texas. You have the number two Republican in the Senate, John Cornyn, is from Texas. The president has been pretty committed to passing a relief package, so you have White House support. So that's something that could be done quickly, and it might get some people to back off of things that they might otherwise be inclined to shut down the government over, especially President Trump and the border wall. So it might start a precedent where lots of stuff begins to get out. At least that's what the more optimistic Republicans on Capitol Hill believe.
Is there any chance that talk and discussions and negotiations about Harvey aid could be some sort of unifying force among all the different kind of groups arguing for space?
Right. I think you're going to see some of that, although there obviously will be some Republicans who are going to be pretty focused on what the overall price tag is and might want to try to offset some of the spending with spending cuts elsewhere. That certainly was the case during Hurricane Katrina and was also the case during Superstorm Sandy.
We're speaking with Jim Antle, politics editor at The Washington Examiner. He's written a piece entitled Trump and Wary Republicans Head for the Fall as Congress returns from its August recess. What are the realistic expectations when it comes to getting significant legislation passed this fall? Like, could things be different?
Well, I think we're going to find out whether things could be different. I mean, the potential certainly exists. I mean, once you get to some issues where Republicans are in more agreement than they ever really were on health care. I mean, the Republicans did not have a defined Obamacare replacement plan ready to go when President Trump took office and they had their majorities. And the Medicaid expansion and Medicaid more generally had emerged as a real sticking point among Republicans in Congress. It really prevented them from arriving at a real consensus on health care. They have a consensus on what they'd like tax rates to look like. They have a consensus on how to deal with the corporate income tax. They have a consensus on regulation. They have a consensus a little bit, I think, on Harvey relief. So if they can focus on some of those consensus points, they do have a little bit better of a prospect of passing legislation.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Antle, politics editor at The Washington Examiner. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Jordan, Hurricane Irma plunged Puerto Rico into darkness this morning as it swept through Caribbean islands while aiming next for Florida. Forecasters have described Irma as a potentially catastrophic Category 5 storm. At least half of Puerto Rico homes and businesses are without power as the storm heads to the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Meanwhile, residents in Florida are getting ready. Governor Rick Scott.
Right now, there is mandatory evacuation order in effect for all visitors in the Florida Keys. This order will go into effect for all residents. If you're told to evacuate, get out quickly.
The dual island nation of Antigua and Barbuda has been especially hard hit. The prime minister of Barbuda, home to about 1,800 people, says the island has been totally demolished, with 90% of all dwellings there leveled. President Trump has overruled congressional Republicans and his own Treasury Secretary to cut a deal with Democrats to keep the government operating and raise the country's debt limit. The immediate goal was ensuring money for hurricane relief, but in the process, the president shocked leaders of his own party, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The president and the Senate and House Democratic leadership agreed to a three-month continuing resolution and a debt ceiling into December.
The three-month deal had the effect of brushing aside the urgings of GOP leaders and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin for a much longer extension to the debt limit. President Trump's oldest son is scheduled to make his first appearance on Capitol Hill today as part of a Senate investigation into Russian meddling in the presidential election and a meeting he had with Russians during the campaign. Donald Trump Jr. will be interviewed by staff on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Meanwhile, Facebook says it has identified about 500 inauthentic accounts responsible for $100,000 in ad spending it believes have ties to Russia. The site reviewed its ad buying in response to intelligence community concerns about Russia activity during the election. While there won't be a U.S. Open matchup between Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal after Federer was bounced in the quarterfinals last night in four sets by Juan Martín Del Potro, but there will be an All-American Women's Final Four, with Venus Williams taking on Sloane Stephens and Coco Vandeweghe meeting Madison Keys tonight.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
Right?
It's been 30-some years.
How about that
this
for
happened.
Women's sports?
And Serena's not even there.
Yeah, right. And by the way, not to point fingers, but I think your hype of Federer and Nadal in the first ever meeting in New York really kind of sunk the chances of it happening.
I mean,
you couldn't have talked about it any more yesterday. On and on and on.
It didn't do it.
23 minutes now after the hour. It's time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. Employment is up, wages are finally rising, and layoffs are near record lows, resulting in a more optimistic and contented workforce. But what about worker happiness? It's different these days. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Lauren, what's going on here?
What I think is going on here is that the recession just reset expectations for a lot of people. So whereas we once expected certain things from a job, our expectations are much lower now. And I think that makes it easier for people to feel good about where they're at.
Interesting. So we've sort of changed the definition of what it means to feel good about a job, or lowered the bar, perhaps?
I would say lowered the bar. You know, when my parents were working in the 70s and 80s, there was a real expectation that you were going to get a pension. Your health care would be, you'd be, have an excellent health care plan. It would probably be fully paid by your employer. You wouldn't be paying a premium. Now, those kinds of, you know, basic elements of a job, things like job security, thinking about your retirement, thinking about having protection from some of the ups and downs that any kind of a life will bring, you know, what we now think that our employer is going to offer to us is very different. In exchange, we've gotten some other things back. You know, I think it's possible to say that more people are doing interesting kinds of work today. A lot of people have flexibility on their jobs, which wasn't necessarily available decades ago. So, you know, there are trade-offs.
All right. I was intrigued by a comment that somebody in the story made about how the employee-employer relationship has eroded so much. What was his point with regards to, say, millennials today?
Yeah, again, I think that has to do with that idea of the expectations. And this is an author named Rick Wortsman who just wrote a book called The End of Loyalty, which looks at how we think of a good job and how that's changed a lot over time. And to him, the pillars of a good job were typically job security, retirement, health care, and wages. And all of those things have sort of declined in a very real sense. You know, layoffs used to be very, very uncommon and only used in an emergency situation. And, you know, starting in the 80s and 90s, they became something that companies used when there was a bump in demand, or, you know, they started relying more on a contingent workforce, temps and contract workers. Maybe that meant they didn't have to do so many layoffs because they had these workers they could very easily and quickly move around rather than laying off their core staff. So those kinds of things, you know, the loyalty you expect from your employer in exchange for you giving them your loyalty. You know, there are a lot of arguments that workers themselves are also less loyal. And I think, yeah, you know, it's hard to disentangle where that came from, but clearly there's a dynamic there.
Thanks, Lauren. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Omaha Steaks offers a huge variety from premium steaks to skillet meals. This summer, I've enjoyed grilling them at barbecues. They also make the perfect business gift. Their gifts offer unique home cooking experiences from a trusted brand known for quality. Right now, you can experience for yourself what makes these business gifts so unique with an exclusive offer. Order the perfect business gift to try the Omaha Steaks gift experience for yourself, or send it as a gift. The perfect business gift includes 4 bacon-wrapped tri-tip steaks, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 gourmet franks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, plus free shipping and 4 caramel apple tartlets. This exclusive package is only $59.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, and choose the perfect business gift. Again, omahasteaks.com. Enter the code DEAL in the search bar to send or experience this exclusive gift package for only $59.99.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, September 7. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Irma clobbers the Caribbean, tees up Florida for the weekend. Evacuations are underway. Trump does a deal with Democrats on hurricane relief, government funding, and the debt ceiling. At his corruption trial, Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey is said to have sold his office for a lifestyle he couldn't afford. China agrees more sanctions are needed against North Korea, but still wants more dialogue. And the Chiefs and Pats kick off the NFL season tonight. Here are the changes you'll see. That story in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Irma, with top sustained winds of 180 miles per hour, was on track to reach Florida Saturday or Sunday. The National Hurricane Center warns it's a life-threatening storm capable of catastrophic damage. Let's go live to South Florida and get an update from our affiliate, 610 WIOD in Miami, where Manny Munoz is a co-host and executive producer. Manny, good morning. What's the latest on the areas facing the biggest problems?
Good morning, Gordon. Well, a hurricane watch will likely be issued for the Florida Keys and most of South Florida sometime later today. Under the current forecast for Irma, South Florida should begin feeling tropical storm force winds late tomorrow night, early Saturday morning, as the storm continues to move in our general direction as a massive Category 5 hurricane.
You know, you mentioned the Florida Keys, and I heard a guy say that he's staying put. That's what they do. They're used to that kind of weather. But I think that's an area that's just 3 feet above sea level. Explain to me the mentality of some of the folks in the Florida Keys who like to ride these things out.
Well, you know, if you look at a map of the United States, Florida just kind of jets out there into the ocean between the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Florida Straits there. So a lot of people, especially native Floridians, have been through this many, many times before. Problem is, we haven't dealt with a major, major hurricane of this sort in many years, and especially people down in the Keys or the Barrier Islands here in Miami Beach and Fort Lauderdale, many of them are adamant, despite mandatory evacuation orders, that they're not going. On a personal basis, I'm dealing with my parents in the same way. They're obviously older. They dealt with Hurricane Andrew 25 years ago, a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Their house was destroyed, the house I grew up in, and I'm talking to them, and they're saying we're going to stay here no matter what and save what little we have left.
They're in the Keys, your parents?
They're down in Kendall, which is southern Miami-Dade County. But
wow.
That's the mentality of a lot of people. No matter what happens, I'm going to stay here and preserve what I have and ride it out however I can.
Wow. What are you going to do?
Well, being in the business, I'm going to have to be here at the radio station working throughout the weekend. My decision right now is what I'm going to do with my wife, a 3.5-year-old, 18-month-old, and a mother-in-law. Still haven't decided whether I'm going to try and send them up to the west side of the state near the Tampa area, or if I'm going to bring them here to this radio station, not knowing whether this building, which was made only about 17 years ago, can withstand a Category 4 or 5 hurricane. And that's the dilemma a lot of us have right now.
Well, we're speaking live this morning with Manny Munoz, co-host and executive producer at our big affiliate in Miami, 610 WIOD. What about the gasoline situation? I heard that some stations ran dry.
Yeah, a lot of stations have been running dry for several days. That's if one good thing has come out of the fact that that we had the anniversary for Hurricane Andrew, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and what we saw happen, the destruction from Hurricane Harvey along the Texas and Louisiana Gulf Coast, is a lot of people across South Florida and most of the state have taken this very seriously. People stocking up on water, despite the fact that a lot of stores have run out of that. They've quickly replenished those. And gas stations, I've seen people lined up with a line that looked like it would wait for at least an hour at gas stations that didn't have gas in anticipation that a tanker truck would be showing up soon to replenish that. I drove by 7 gas stations between 420 and 450 this morning, and all of them were either empty or had long lines, one of which, as I mentioned, had no gasoline, but there was still a line in anticipation they'd get a refill soon.
My goodness. Tell me about preparations. You know, you mentioned folks are taking this seriously, but you've heard these stories before where I think FEMA says like only 50% of Americans even have some sort of plan.
Yeah, like, as I mentioned, you know, this isn't the first rodeo for most people down here in South Florida. As a matter of fact, last year we were faced with a threat from Hurricane Matthew. Luckily, that storm stayed east of us, thanks to a last-minute jog. And so people did prepare back then. Obviously, Matthew was nothing like Hurricane Irma is and could be for South Florida. So I don't think there's a whole lot of people that are taking this lightly or saying they're gonna oppose a mandatory evacuation order down in the Keys or along the Barrier Islands here in Miami Beach and Fort Lauderdale. But as we talked about a few minutes ago, there are those who are going to say, I'm going to stay and ride this out no matter what happens.
Is it true that Interstate 95 was a parking lot at times yesterday?
Yeah, that's one of the problems when hundreds of thousands of people potentially say that they're going to get out. We've really only got a couple of ways out, the Florida Turnpike and I-95 on the East Coast, or I-75, which goes completely across the state from about Fort Lauderdale to the Naples-Fort Myers area. And there is the anticipation that there could be some traffic delays as people decide at the last minute to get out.
Something fascinating I heard. Florida is like 100 miles wide. And this storm at its most intense point is about 50 miles wide, where the whole thing itself is like 400 something miles wide.
Yeah, that's if you draw a direct line, I-75, for example, from Fort Lauderdale, which most people are aware of, directly west across the state to the Fort Myers Naples area, that's about 106 miles or so. So when you look at the size of the storm that Irma is right now, potentially, if it came in the wrong area, it could affect the entire state of Florida, East Coast and Gulf Coast.
Almost unthinkable. Hey, thanks for a few minutes this morning, Manny. As always, Manny Munoz, co-host and producer from our big affiliate in Miami, 610 WIOD. It's 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Ask any technology expert about the future of artificial intelligence in travel, and they'll breathlessly tell you we're on the verge of a revolution. They'll describe a world in the not-too-distant future where smart applications can find and book a bargain airfare, manage your trip, and troubleshoot any problems with greater speed and efficiency than any human travel agent. But ask any traveler to describe their experience with AI, and you might hear a different story. Here's consumer advocate and travel expert Christopher Elliott. Chris, set this up.
You and I both know we've heard this before, where we're on the verge of revolution and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Right now we're in the nothing happens mode, where you have a lot of these intelligent agents, so-called intelligent agents, that are doing things that are maybe not so intelligent. And I looked at a lot of these chatbots and AI features that are being highly touted by companies and that are supposed to help make travel so much better. In many cases, they did not do that.
Mm. All right. So your experience was what? Because I know you gave at least something here, a test drive.
I did. I gave a lot of things a test drive. Well, in a couple of the cases, when I went on to Facebook to see if I could interact with a chatbot, I didn't get a response at all.
Mm.
And I tried many times. So, I guess silence is golden. If you're not going to say anything, that's probably better than saying the wrong thing. Because in one case, I asked for a cold weather getaway. It was very specific. I said, I want to go somewhere cool. And the AI came back and said, well, how about somewhere in the Caribbean? And I said, no, that's really not where I want to go. I want to go somewhere cool. And so the AI then got back to me and said, we found these great deals in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And I thought, okay, maybe the chatbot isn't so intelligent after all.
Mm.
But it's very instructive, though, for the rest of us, because when we go on to one of these interfaces on, say, Facebook, that maybe we're not getting an intelligent agent that's playing with a full deck.
We're speaking with consumer advocate Chris Elliott, travel expert, also author of a book called How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. You said AI, artificial intelligence, is reasonably good at simple tasks for now, at least according to some of these folks. But that, I don't know, that's not really good enough from a selling standpoint, is it?
Well, no. And absolutely, when you go onto one of these AI interfaces, it will tell you what it can and can't do, which is really defeats the purpose of an AI. AI is supposed to be able to have an intelligent, real-time conversation with you almost. And what it's saying is it's giving you a list of instructions. Here are the things that I can do. Asking a simple question like, what's the best airfare between New York and Rome? And that's not what I would consider an intelligent conversation. That's more like, you're telling me what the AI can do, and you're instructing me on how to interface with the AI, but it's not really a true intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
Like we're having right now, hopefully, where we're having an exchange of ideas, and you can ask me anything, and I can ask you anything, but these are very, very specific, and you can't deviate from that, otherwise they will send you to Port-au-Prince.
It's travel expert Christopher Elliott, who's on this massive, open-ended road trip with his family. That was a conversation he and I had yesterday from his cell phone somewhere in Alaska. It is 12 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Glad you could spend some time with us. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Irma is roaring over the Caribbean, leaving destruction in its wake and blacking out much of Puerto Rico. The Category 5 hurricane is moving next toward the Dominican Republic and Haiti before likely hitting Florida this weekend. Communication is difficult with areas hit by Irma, with information on damage just beginning to trickle out. This woman works at a resort in St. Martin.
It is a disaster out there. Most homes have completely washed away. So we are in a serious state of emergency.
Nearly every building on Barbuda was damaged when the hurricane's core crossed almost directly over the island early yesterday. The island's prime minister calls it a really horrendous situation. Over a dozen states have filed a lawsuit to block President Trump's plan to end a program protecting hundreds of thousands of young immigrants from deportation. The lawsuit, filed yesterday, claims the Trump administration's decision to rescind the Obama-era DACA program was motivated by anti-Mexican bias. Washington Governor Jay Inslee calls the president's move a political maneuver.
And when we are claiming there is a violation of due process, you bet we are right, because it's just what Donald Trump does. When he's in trouble, he tries to blame the weakest and most vulnerable amongst us.
The suit says ending DACA, whose participants are mostly of Mexican origin, is a culmination of Trump's off-stated commitments to punish and disparage people with Mexican roots. In the wake of North Korea's sixth nuclear test, the U.S. delegation to the U.N. has circulated a draft resolution that would ban all exports of natural gas and oil to the country, as well as freeze assets of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and his government around the globe. The proposed resolution would mark the first time Kim's assets have been personally targeted by economic sanctions. Football is back, and so are the ratings for the TV networks carrying it. Saturday night's marquee matchup between Alabama and Florida State helped give ABC the ratings win over NBC for the week, which had been number one all summer due to America's Got Talent. But NBC may get the boost back by broadcasting the first NFL game of the season tonight between the Chiefs and Patriots.
Very good. Thanks for being with us. The National Football League has never had an offseason like 2017. League officials spent a nervous spring and summer plotting to ensure that the season beginning tonight with the Chiefs visiting the Patriots is nothing like last year when TV audiences declined and empty seats dotted stadiums. The Wall Street Journal says suddenly desperate to right the ship, the league sought advice from its media partners to design a season they hope will start strong and gain momentum. The schedule is packed with attractive games and primetime slots, especially in September and October, to get fans hooked early. The league and its TV partners also cut the number of commercial breaks. Networks can use what is known now as double box advertising, allowing fans to watch the field during a commercial. The networks shuffled announcers in search of voices that would appeal to younger fans. On the field, penalties for touchdown celebrations were done away with because those moments become viral videos. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2424 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2424.